We're returning to our text that we began last time. We are in Leviticus chapter 23, so please open up and we will read from verse 23 to verse 25, and also a couple verses from Numbers chapter 29. Leviticus 23, 26, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you will have a Sabbath rest. It is a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and it is a holy convocation. You will do no customary work on it, but instead you will offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." And a little bit more detail as we read an alternate passage in Numbers chapter 29, first six verses. "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you will have a holy convocation. You will do no customary work on it, because it is a day of blowing the trumpets, and you will offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, a young bull, one ram, seven lambs without blemish, a grain offering with flour and oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull and 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs," verse 4, and verse 5, "one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering with its regular offering for the new moon," and that's what I want to emphasize today, this phrase, new moon, "you will have the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and the drink offerings according to their ordinance. It is a sweet offering made by fire unto the Lord." As we have studied these holy days, these festivals of Israel, we've looked at four of them already that are chronologically described for us in Leviticus chapter 23. The first four, as we already mentioned, are historical fact. They have happened, they have occurred, and they have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ in his redemptive ministry for us. Jesus became our Passover lamb. His death, his 3 days in a tomb are an example to us of his sinless life. And for us as believers, the example is that our life is supposed to have no sin in it or leaven in it. Thirdly, Jesus arose on the first day of the week. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the first that was resurrected from the dead to never die again, to live forevermore. And that is the promise that God gives to us that place our trust for salvation in him. And fourthly, 50 days later, as Israel celebrated the beginning of their harvest, of their fall harvest, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came down, the church was formed. And symbolically, these four feasts have already been fulfilled for us in the life of Jesus. But what about these other three? This Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of the Day of Atonement, that today is called Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles that Israel celebrates to this day. We have no record in Scripture that Jesus fulfilled them after his death. And so how are we to view them? And prophetically speaking, from the Scriptures in the Old Testament, what do they teach us about the future and about our salvation as it relates to Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, we believe and we teach from Scripture that there is a much biblical prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. Almost the entire book of Revelation in the New Testament. Many passages that Jesus taught about the end times in Matthew and Luke and Mark, and even John mentioned some of these. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, and most of the prophecies, they deal with many things that will occur in the future. They may begin today. They may begin when all of us have died already and have gone to be with the Lord. But they will still happen. And I believe that the Feast of Trumpets symbolically represents for us the coming of Jesus Christ in what is called the rapture of the church to take us to be with him. And today I'd like to briefly look at several aspects of this historical feast that Israel celebrated and how it might relate to the second coming and the rapture of Jesus Christ. As I already have mentioned in previous weeks, the first four feasts were spring feasts. The last three mentioned are fall feasts. And obviously between springtime and fall time is a period of time. We literally believe that we are living in a historical time frame between the fourth feast of Israel, the Feast of Pentecost, and the fifth feast, which is the Feast of Trumpets, when Israel was supposed to blow the trumpets. What does that speak to us about today? Well, the first thing we pay attention to is this interval of time. Scripture teaches us that today, those of us that are members of the body of Christ, those of us that are part of the church, those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture calls this the church age or the period of grace. God says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart, but accept the message as it is taught to you. The period of grace, according to Scripture, had a beginning. It began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended, when the church was born. And that day, 3,000 people formed the nucleus of the church. The church continues to be built today. Even today, people are coming to know Jesus Christ. But this period will end. Symbolically, the way this particular feast occurred in historical days, notice, and I read the passage from Numbers that talks about the new moon. All the other feasts that Israel celebrated always occurred later in the month or during the month when the moon was visible. And this is a very, very important symbolic teaching for us in the church. This feast, the feast when they were supposed to blow trumpets, occurred on the first day of the month. Israel lived on a lunar calendar, which meant that on the first day of the month, that was the darkest night of the month. And as you know, the darkest part of the month and the darkest part of the night comes right before the light appears. Symbolically, as we look at this, what is very interesting is that because Israel lived on a lunar calendar, they were never exactly totally 100% sure when the beginning of the new moon cycle would appear. And so the rabbis, they developed this procedure where they would have men go out and sit on the hilltops. And their job was to watch the night sky in anticipation of the coming light. And as soon as the light appeared, they would give a signal and the horns would begin to sound. And this was the beginning of the feast here, especially one time a year when they celebrated this feast. We have several examples in the Old Testament when this feast was celebrated. Nehemiah, we read that the people celebrated this feast. What's important about the sounding of the trumpets? As we read Exodus chapter 19 and Numbers chapter 10, we find that there were two specific reasons and two specific times when the trumpet was supposed to sound in Israel. As you read through the Old Testament, especially Exodus and Leviticus, you will read about two different types of trumpets that were used in Israel. One was a trumpet that was made out of silver, and it was made by a person that knew how to work with metal. And it had, Scripture describes the different sounds that this trumpet would make. It could make a long sound, it could make a short sound, and it could make a staccato sound. And to this day, when Israel celebrates these feasts, they have the trumpets sounding these different sounds, and each of them had a specific meaning for Israel. But the second type of horn or sound was when the priests would sound the horn that was made from an animal, from a ram's horn, and it also had a specific meaning. But as we read Exodus 19 and Numbers 10, we found that when Israel was in the desert, when they were supposed to come together for their worship services, the trumpet would sound. We read when God appeared to Moses on the Mount Sinai in chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus, that God appeared at the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet was used to call the people to worship. And this basic meaning of worship, convocation, as we have read in Numbers and in Leviticus several times, it is a holy convocation. Some of your Bibles may say it is a holy assembly. In Russian, the word is собрание, which we understand to mean when we go to church. And so God calls his people together in his presence at the sound of the trumpet. And what's amazing for us, if we put all of this in context, Jesus calls us as Christians to await his coming. Jesus calls us to be alert and to be sober. And very much like the Jews sitting on a mountain awaiting the first sign of the moon. And they would sound a trumpet in joy for the people to begin to celebrate and worship the Lord. When the scripture tells us we will come into our holy gathering unto the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord will appear. The dead in Christ will rise. Then those of us that are alive, we will be instantly changed when the trumpet of the Lord is heard. 1 Corinthians 15:58, we have the same type of message. Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, we will be changed at the sound of the last trumpet. And so God uses this symbolically to call us into his presence at the end of the summer when the harvest begins. And after that, the judgments of God begin as we read the book of Revelation, the reign of Antichrist, the great tribulation. These are all part of the day of the judgment of God that the next feast, the next holy day of Israel, Yom Kippur, talks about. The judgment day. And then the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus comes and dwells on earth for 1,000 years and we with him. But I want to return to this whole idea of what this means to the church. Alertness, soberness, and watchfulness in the life we live. Matthew 24:42, Jesus said, watch, because you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We should be like those men sitting on a hilltop awaiting the coming of the Lord, living watchfully. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others. In other words, as the unbelievers. But instead, let us watch and let us be sober. You watch with your eyes and you're sober with your mind. What that means is you do not fall asleep. You do not get tired in the ministry, in the life, the Christian life, the holy living that God has called you to. Later in Titus 2:13, Paul writes, we look and we anticipate with the blessed hope for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28, it says that Jesus Christ was offered one time for the sins of many, and that includes us, but to those who eagerly await his coming. Just like the Jews in the old days, sitting on a mountain awaiting the first sign of the moon, with eagerness we await the sign of light when Jesus comes for us. So to those who eagerly await for him, he, Jesus Christ, will appear a second time for our salvation. In other words, when we come into his presence. And I'd like to summarize what Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and on. He says, we look for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, my beloved brothers, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Make an effort. Try. Put an effort. Try hard to be found in him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. May God bless his word. Amen.